You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Some great guests. The message board geniuses will arrive here in a few minutes. If you don't know what that is, you're in for a treat. These guys comb the internet looking for the craziest statements about respective schools and teams, and they have had quite a few about Alabama in recent days. Bill is in Kentucky, and you're on the air. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Earlier... I've been listening and watching too. You had Coach Cal's press conference, I think.
Right.
Aired on. Yeah. I wanted to comment.
Sure.
And there's a lot of controversy about Coach Cal and the fan base. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, I think they got real poor memories, Paul. I mean, let's go back. I think Cal was, he came to Kentucky in 2010. Okay. We've had a couple bad years, Paul. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I'm not going to take up on them. I mean, they've been disappointing. Actually, one year there was supposed to be really good recruits, and they didn't turn out to be any good, but
right.
That's another story.
It happens,
but anyhow,
though.
I'm going, let's go the previous 10 years. Do these fans that's calling for Coach Cal's head, are they wanting to go back to Billy Gillespie?
No, I don't think anybody wants to go back to Billy Gillespie.
How about Tubby Smith? I mean, Paul, I'm just calling it the way it is. You could have coached the 98 championship team, Paul.
No, well, no, you're right. And what people don't, for those who don't know what we're talking about, Rick Pitino had built an absolute monster in Lexington. He left to go to the Celtics. Tubby Smith comes in and wins a national championship. And quite frankly, it only went down from there.
It did, Paul. And we didn't even get in a Final Four. I mean, like I'm saying, Cal's had a couple bad years. This year is still in limbo, I think, in my mind.
I don't know about you, but I'm pretty encouraged by what I'm seeing.
Well, they're playing better defense. I like some of the signs I'm seeing. Tomorrow night's game will be an excellent game with Arkansas. We're going to see where things stand, I think. You know, that'll be a big game.
But Bill, I'll say this about Cal. He has meant a great deal to the school and to the state. And, you know, the frustration comes. He's had countless Elite Eights, you know, number of Final Fours, and, you know, none since 2015. And I think that's really what rubs people the wrong way. And
I'll get off real quickly.
Sure.
Paul, he went 38-0.
I
was wanting to go 40-0 so bad.
And
he also, in 2017, when North Carolina won the championship,
yeah,
we played them in the Elite Eight and got beat on a last-second shot. And if there was ever a team that got hosed by the referees, it was Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'm honest with you in that game, Paul. That was horrible. It really was. It was almost like robbery.
Well, Bill, listen,
you gotta get over it.
Keep the faith. I'm sure some fans of Tennessee and Alabama, Auburn, Arkansas probably got a good chuckle out of getting a bad, you know, Kentucky getting a bad call. Let's check in with Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark.
Hi, yes, sir. How are you doing?
We are doing great.
I just wanted to call. I'm listening to your show while I'm working, and I keep hearing you talk about how well Georgia, I'm a huge Georgia fan, how well Georgia will do if Todd Monken leaves, if Mike Bobo steps in. And I just want to say, I think you're completely wrong about that. Remember how Mike Bobo did with Mark Richt there? He took over as OC and just did a horrible job. He couldn't make decisions that would benefit Georgia. Left and went to the head coaching job, did a horrible job there. They brought him back because he's friend of the head coach. You know, they've got the friendship going. You know, unless Todd Monken has changed his mentality of thinking, he would be a horrible job. Georgia would never go and win another national title with him as OC.
Well, Mark, I was simply pointing out, I understand your frustration with Mike Bobo. Everyone else had similar frustrations. I was simply saying that at some point, it's more about Todd Monken, and you know, I think Georgia would be better if he stayed, but you know, what can Kirby Smart do is my only point. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Joe is in Ohio. You're on the air. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Great. Thank you. First caller, buddy. Hey, love your show. Hey, I wanted to run back something from probably 5 years ago. I had a birthday, and so we went to Tennessee. So I'm coming home, or we're heading back to the hotel after a nice long night, and there was a nice older couple getting on the elevator, Bama fans, obviously, and he was dressed just like Paul Bryant, and his wife really was having trouble getting on the elevator, so we helped them out and rode up two or three levels, and as they got off, the older gentleman turned around and he said, "Go Bama." Well, it just happened to be the day that or the year that Bama beat Ohio State, and of course we're Ohio State fans and we got all our gear on, and it really aggravated me because I'm a huge college football fan. So it doesn't matter if it's SEC or Big Ten, whoever it is. So I just wanted to know how you would handle something like that. And of course we let it go and had fun with it. You know, we laughed the whole way up. And then I saw the gentleman the next day, and as they're walking out to get in their car, we helped them, I helped them, the wife, get in the car because she was needing some care. So, long story short, I just wanted to tell you that, Paul, I don't know if you're, and if you've ever seen anything about the Buckeye Cruise, what Ohio State puts on there.
No.
My wife actually works. Go ahead.
No, I've never heard of it. Tell me more about it.
The Buckeye Cruise, my wife's actually a part of that.
Oh, really?
It's a huge cancer fundraiser. I think a couple years after I was on it the last time, that I think that the Bama Nation tried to, they brought a couple people in to try to mimic what we were doing there, and it's just an enormous
deal. I do vaguely remember when Bama did that. Well, that is cool. I have
really cool.
I've
really
never been,
cool,
I have never buddy. Been on a cruise. Have you ever been on a cruise, Randy?
Yes.
I have never been on a cruise, I may have to. I'll go. When's the next Buckeye cruise? Maybe I can grab a seat.
It's typically first couple weeks of February.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's really
by the way, if you guys need a speaker, I've got some some aging Jim Harbaugh material I can share with you. We'll take a short break. The message board geniuses. Who are they? What are they all about? I don't know, but we're about to find out.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
There's nothing quite like a coaching search to get message boards and Twitter up in arms. It happens all the time, but lately it's happened to extremes. There's a Twitter handle called Message Board Geniuses that I have seen, and many of you have as well. And this is something from the other day. Nick Saban is done. Now, that sounds like an exaggeration, but that is something that people are talking about. So I thought we would try to learn more about this. So let me welcome in message board. Hey, by the way, usually people have names. Before we even get going, can you tell us why you're not sharing a name with us? Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, it's good to be here. Hey, I have a real job. So I try to keep a little bit of separation between my Twitter job and my real job.
Okay, I understand that. I have a real job, too. This is not my real name either. let's go back to the beginning, because this is a very popular site. It's a very popular handle. People have fun with it, and I'm assuming that's what it's all about. So when did it begin, and how?
Oh, maybe a couple years ago. I think two seasons ago, I kind of started it. I had just seen lots of funny takes on message boards, and I enjoyed them, thought they were funny. I thought it was entertaining how out of sorts people seem to get about college football. And so I thought maybe I'd just kind of share them. So I just kind of started sharing them, and I guess people like seeing them.
I don't know if the next answer is classified or not, not that that matters anymore in this country with classified documents, but... how do you do it? And are you alone doing this? Do you have a group that helps you? Because there's a lot out there, and you mentioned you do have another job.
Yeah, I do a lot of it on my own, and then I get a lot of submissions. It's probably about 60-40. I probably get about 60-75% submissions, and then the rest of it is me. Just kind of knowing where to look, depending on what's going on in the college football world.
Well, yeah. So, like old takes exposed, so people will start tagging you when they see something outrageous. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, sometimes they'll tag me or just kind of send it to me in a DM or an email. Okay. They'll send it to me, and I'll kind of vet it and make sure that it's at least somewhat legit. And then if it's funny, I'll tweet it out.
Yeah. So what makes the cut and what doesn't? What is the line of demarcation on absurdity in college football or any other sport for that matter?
Essentially, if I think it's funny, I'll tweet it out. Sometimes I'll see stuff that I know is probably not legitimate, might be sarcastic, but if I think it's funny, I'll tweet it out. Or, you know, if it's an unsubstantiated rumor, I like to tweet it out, or some crazy prediction, I like to tweet it out. So basically, if it passes my test of me thinking it's funny, I'll tweet it out.
So you just said something interesting. You would just tweet out an unsubstantiated rumor. I don't want to play journalism school dean here with you, but I will. I mean, is there some risk at doing that, liability? I mean, are these anything that you're concerned with, or is it more in the realm of craziness versus something that could be damaging to someone or somebody?
Well, I would never post anything if I thought it would be damaging to someone personal.
Okay.
So every once in a while, someone will send me rumors about coaches or their family doing something, and I wouldn't post it. When I say rumors, I'm talking about, Art Briles being hired by Texas Tech, or, some crazy coaching rumor or something along those lines.
That would be damaging to anyone if Art Briles got hired somewhere.
Yeah, I think everybody would know that was a not a legitimate rumor.
So is there
at least I would hope so.
Is there a fan base that seems to come in front of you more often than not?
Well, people ask me that all the time. I mean, if you put a gun to my head and told me to pick some, I'd probably say like Texas A&M, Clemson, Georgia, Miami, Ohio State. But that's probably because their fan bases are a little bit larger than everyone else's. But those would probably be the top five, maybe some Texas.
So are we talking more just vulnerable fan bases, gullible fan bases?
Well, it probably has a lot to do with what seems to be happening. Texas A&M was kind of easy pickings this last season, just because of what they were going through. Obviously, same with Miami, Florida. I think it's based on the situation of that particular fan base.
Now, let me address this, because we lived for a long time. And by the way, it's so weird not to be able to use a name in talking to you. But we'll protect your we'll just call you MBG for short.
That'll work.
For so long, and really this is how, there were so many evolutions of criticism. We talk radio, I think it used to be letters to the editor back 50 years ago, and then talk radio. And then the message board revolution started. By the way, are there still fairly active message boards, has most of it simply moved to social media?
Oh, no, they're quite active. Most schools will have 2-3 active, very active message boards. They're very active.
And now, is that the best place to get information? I mean, obviously, it's in the title of your handle.
Well, yeah, it's a good place to get information. I mean, a lot of the message boards will have actual legitimate information. Obviously, I'm not stealing that from them, but certainly you can find that there.
Metrics and algorithms, but that's the industry and the world we live in. What really works for you when you tweet something out?
What tweets for me? Usually it's some sort of crazy prediction or some sort of crazy conspiracy theory. There was a conspiracy theory that I tweeted out from LSU fans that they believed that Tennessee was using some sort of electromagnetic pulse on the sideline, and that's why they lost to Tennessee. They were being distracted by that. So probably like crazy conspiracy theories probably get the most traction.
So in the recent football season, you've given us one example. What else raised the ire of football fans everywhere?
Well, obviously NIL does. I think a lot of the people that post on message boards are more traditional college football fans, and so they're having trouble adapting to this new world of NIL and transfer portal and those sorts of things, and maybe what they perceive to be a lack of loyalty on the part of the student athlete. So they struggle with that. Firing coaches is always the main thing that they want to do on the message boards. So they struggle with coaches not going undefeated. So those are probably the most things that two of the things that they struggle with the most.
And finally, you mentioned some outrageous things. I mean, is there one specific or maybe two stories that stand above the rest in terms of recent history?
Well, one that sticks out, I think that there was a thought on the Texas A&M board at one time that Jimbo Fisher was struggling a little bit because of the COVID vaccine that had caused some mental fog and caused him to maybe fall below his standard.
Are you sure that was on the message board and you weren't watching Tucker Carlson last night?
I mean, that could have been where they got it from.
I think it was. But
that was one that stuck out to me. The LSU one I mentioned earlier was a funny one. There was an Auburn post that they were wondering if the worst thing that Adolf Hitler ever did was to allow Bear Bryant to become the coach of Alabama. But
is this just a pastime? Is there any profit in this, or is this just something that you do?
Oh, it's just a pastime for now. We have the Twitter account and a podcast and a website. But it's just a pastime. It's just for fun.
And would you ever consider coming from outside, from behind the curtain, and telling us who you are?
Paul, if somebody wanted to pay me to do that, I would certainly consider it.
Okay. I'll see if I can get a GoFundMe account and see how high the number goes. Hey, thank you very much.
I think everyone would be disappointed.
Yeah. I think they would too. Thank you for coming on. All the best. We've had a lot of fun with the message board genius hiding behind a curtain somewhere in a theater near you. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Part two of Southern Hoops. We had Dan Issel on earlier. That will be 9 p.m. right after the basketball game. Ron is in Virginia. Hey, Ron. Welcome to our show. Good evening.
Mr. Paul, longtime caller, blessed to be on your show.
Thank you. You're awesome.
I just want to say, Paul, you looking very dapper today.
Oh, thank you.
And the reason why I said it is because I-Man doesn't like big words. That's
no,
kind of funny.
Dapper would be a dapper, two-syllable word, probably outside of his bailiwick.
Very, very well said. That's great. And also, you know, I talked to my SCC nation like yourself about the Chinese spy balloon. You're going to like this. How do you know was it Nick Saban trying to recruit for Alabama? What do you think of that? And I've got one more thing after that. Well, I want to hear what you have to say about the spy balloon.
Had it been Nick Saban's spy balloon, it would not have been shot down.
Very well said. That's exactly what I was thinking, Paul. Well said. That was very dapper.
Thank you.
Now, I want to talk about Kevin Steele. He had three stints at Alabama. His first one, if I'm correct, Paul, you know better than I do, was 2007. I'm excited for this young man, but I do have a question for you, Mr. Paul.
Yeah, you are
how
correct.
How come Alabama chose Kevin Steele over Jeremy Pruitt? And I want to hear what you have to say.
I think the answer is easy. I don't think Jeremy Pruitt was hireable, meaning that his NCAA problems prevented Alabama from a level of comfort that they could hire him, put him on the field, on the road, without knowing what is ahead with the NCAA in Tennessee.
Well said, Paul. You're phenomenal. One more thing. I know your time is everything. I have a prediction this year. You don't like afterwards. You like it before.
Yes.
In the SEC, I'm picking Shane Beamers from South Carolina to end up in the SEC championship, and I'll leave you at that. What do you think of that,
that
Paul?
That's the wildest prediction we've had here all year.
Can we quote you on that?
Yes, sir.
We have you down, Ron, on February 6th, 6:34 p.m. Eastern time, going with the Gamecocks over the Dogs. Now, you do know that South Carolina plays in Athens this year, and I know they won there a couple of years ago, but that is not going to be easy for them.
Paul, do I have time for one more thing?
Yes, you do.
Paul, last year, you came to Tennessee in a coffin in Tennessee. I've been to that game before. They're great people. This year, Tennessee goes to Alabama. I have a question for you, Paul, and I'll leave you at this.
Yes.
I challenge you to come in a coffin and come out of that coffin in Tuscaloosa at the home game at Alabama. Ooh, and I'll leave you at that, sir.
Wow, that's something to think about. The good news is we are still in the first week of February. That will be the third week in October. I have some time to think about it.
Yes, sir.
Now,
and God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Ron. Same to you. Yeah, the thing about the casket, I mean, that's a once, you can't do that again. No. I mean, it's just,
once in a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, it worked. Got the right side of it. Got a lot of attention. You do it the next time, and people are going to boo.
Yeah.
They're going to say, "Stay in there. Yeah. We don't want to see you."
Throw some dirt on it.
Yeah. Now I could find an Alabama casket too, by the way. Leroy is in Florida. Hello, Leroy. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I have a question and a quick. I guess you would call it. First, something you said earlier about that being Nick Saban's defense. Nick Saban still runs the defense.
Right.
Anybody who halfway follows SEC football knows that. If that is the case, why did Pete Golding have to be the sacrificial lamb? And my quick opinion is, and I love it because I'm an LSU fan, if Nick Saban is not done as a coach, as so many people are saying. But this is the beginning of the end. If what he has 7 years left on his contract, if you put the over-under dead in the middle at 3.5, I'll pick the under.
Yeah, Leroy, I think most people would disagree with you. I'm not sure I'm willing to make that because I think every year after now from now on becomes more difficult, and it's a combination of a couple of things. It's age, it's the pressure, it's the playoff. There are a lot of factors involved. I do think he is at a crossroads now. I keep hearing from people close to Nick Saban that he's never been more determined. I don't think that means anything to me because I've always thought Saban's advantage was his dominance and the fear factor. And once I'm not saying that's eliminated, You still know it's Nick Saban over there, but you know he doesn't have a lot of time to waste.
I agree. I think he either has two or three more subpar. When I say subpar, I mean I'm going by Alabama standards. Subpar years and exits, or the next championship and exits.
Yeah, no, Leroy, I think you're right. I think Nick Saban's at a point where it's either, if he doesn't win the championship, it's considered a failure. That's and by the way, that's his fault, not your fault or my fault. He created that.
Yeah. He created it, and I mean, the only way I can say it is just to say it. The Alabama fan bought into it.
Well, and yeah, and by the way, Leroy, I bought into it, and I thought last year, you know, starting the season, I mean, I bought into Alabama being the best team in the country, and it wasn't just me, it was everyone, the pollsters, the Vegas odds maker. Alabama, going into the 22 season, from a Vegas standpoint, was the most prohibitive favorite that we have had in about 17 years in college football, and
that's the safest bet.
That's how big it was. I think they were the biggest since Southern Cal in 2005. Of course, Southern Cal didn't win in 2005; they lost to Texas. But that's how, and for all the reasons we've talked about ad nauseum. But it's different now, and which bet would you take? Now, would you take Kirby Smart winning three in a row or Nick Saban winning next year?
Which bet would
If I gave you two options, you had to take Kirby Smart wins his third straight or Nick Saban wins the title in 23.
I would take Kirby Smart wins his third straight, but I'm as afraid of that as I
am. I think right now that probably is more likely in the eyes of the public.
Yeah, but I don't want Georgia fan to become Alabama fan.
Well,
that's why.
I assume you're a Georgia fan, right?
No, I'm an LSU fan.
Okay, well that's good because I had some bad news for you otherwise.
What would that news have been?
Georgia fans are Alabama fans now. I mean, they didn't go to the summer camp to learn how to be a champion. They're already there, and LSU fans have experienced. Now, the thing about LSU, you know, it's like one of these comets that come around every couple of years. I mean, somehow you win. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out the 19 national championship at LSU.
Well, I don't think there's much to figure out. Like you said, the comment, all the stars aligned.
Yeah, no, it was staff, perfect storm.
The players bought in. Yeah, and lightning in a bottle. If Orgeron could have kept that staff and kept the off-field stuff out of the way, I don't think that would have been his only one.
Yeah, Leroy, but I have this theory. I have this feeling, and I don't. I'm just kidding here, of course. But somehow, Orgeron was at a critical moment in his life, and he had to make a deal with the devil, and he made it. And then the second they won that, it was over. Everything that could come undone did.
Well, let me ask you a question. Another quick question on something else you said earlier about Art Briles. Orgeron was basically a second-chance coach. He was given another opportunity where he had issues years ago.
Sure.
It didn't work for him long-term on his second chance. What is wrong with Art Briles being given a second chance?
Well, the thing that I think is different is that Orgeron accepted what he had done wrong. He tried to do better. To me, my rub with Art Briles is he never dealt with what brought him down. And I think if he had shown even an ounce of compassion, of remorse for being the steward of a despicable program, I think he'd be back today. But he could not do it. Even Bob Petrino attempted to apologize for what he had done wrong. I mean, he attempted, he failed miserably, but he still tried. Our Browse has never tried. We'll take a short break. We are coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.